Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk about Shocker basketball as practices are getting started. We have Bob Hull. Bob does color on Wichita State radio and TV games. He's been hanging out at practices lately, and we're going to get his thoughts and his observations. Bob, let's start with something a little different. This will be our fifth year in the American Athletic Conference. What have you developed, a favorite gym to go to, a favorite city to visit in your trips around with the Shockers?
Ooh, good question. Best probably atmosphere on the road is Cincinnati. They always have a big crowd, especially for the Shocker game, and their crowds are really loud. We've had a lot of good games there. Best city to go to, Memphis, because of the music and the food. The barbecue down there is great, and the food's great. But it's a lot of good cities in the American that are fun to visit. Philadelphia is a lot of fun to visit. And, of course, when you go down to Florida, that's always nice because it's warm. But, yeah, I would say Memphis is my favorite city to visit.
No question. You are a big fan of live music, so you get out and get in some blues music while you're in Memphis. Is that the routine?
Yeah, we're normally staying downtown because the arena, the FedEx Center, is right downtown off of Beale Street, so we usually stay somewhere down near there. And so you could walk probably three or four blocks to a number of live blues clubs, and so our favorite's B.B. King's place there on Beale Street.
Excellent, excellent. Lots of fun. All right, the Shockers last year, 16-6. They won the American Athletic Conference Championship. Their first as a member, they went to the NCAA tournament where they lost a painful game to the Drake Bulldogs. Let's talk about first, what did we learn about Isaac Brown as a coach last year? What stood out to you about Isaac and maybe how he's going to put his stamp on this program?
Well, the first thing that stands out is he calls more timeouts than Greg Marshall.
Everybody does.
Greg
right,
so. Used to hoard those timeouts. He hated to call timeouts. And so Isaac would call timeouts to try to stop another team's run, where Greg would kind of make the guys do it themselves out there on the court. I think, and a lot of times it worked because he saved his timeout. But sometimes, you know, to a fault, maybe they needed a timeout, you know, occasionally. But all kidding aside, and really the same, I think the same system as Greg Marshall ran, I think Isaac was smart enough to know that, hey, let's not change something, let's not fix something that's not broken. It worked for many years with Greg Marshall, and Isaac and the other coaches knew the system very well, and the players knew the system very well, so they stuck with the same system, and I think they played maybe a little more zone last year than in years past, but Greg Marshall would go to zone if required it against a certain opponent or because of foul trouble. So very similar. I think where the difference might be is in the person-to-person relationships. I think Isaac is a different person than Greg Marshall, and so he's going to interact with the players differently than Greg Marshall did. So I think probably the biggest difference might be player to coach, coach to player interaction on a daily basis and during the game.
The timeouts was really interesting. It was always a hot button with the fans, and I think Greg knew that. He would kind of make fun of it at different times. One of the reasons why he could hoard his timeouts was because he had great point guards running things for him. So this year it'll be interesting. You know, does Isaac Brown do a little more of that hoarding of timeouts because he's in his second year? He will have Craig Porter playing point, who's in his second year. He will have Tyson Etienne handling the ball. That'll be interesting to see. Would a coach do that? I've got more experienced guys. I'm more comfortable with them. Maybe I can let them play through a little bit of adversity.
I think that's probably a good point. We'll see. See how these guys play. Altariq Gilbert was a really, really good point guard and was in real control out there. And he had a two guard next to him, Tyson Etienne, who was very familiar with the system. And those two were pretty experienced guys as well. So we'll wait and see. Craig Porter, I would say, would be the front runner at the point guard position, as you mentioned. But Quay Grant, don't count him out. He is really, really good and is very experienced in his own right. and can play point guard and off guard. And then I think you're going to see Tyson handling the ball this year and playing some point. And I think you're going to see Dexter Dennis handling the ball more. He looks a lot more comfortable out there in practice, bringing the ball up and handling the ball more.
Okay, that's an interesting observation. Shockers, of course, they worked out all summer. They worked out in the early fall. You can do that in kind of limited hours, limited groups. Earlier this week, they started the full team deal. What's on your mind as far as, you know, what question do you have? What do you want to see from this group as practice gets started?
Well, that point guard battle is going to be interesting. Not that it's going to be one and not the other. It's probably going to be both guys, Quay Grant and Craig Porter. It'll be interesting to see who starts there and who plays the best there. There's a lot of battles at other positions as well. Tyson is getting pushed by Chauncey Jenkins, their two guard. You've got Dexter Dennis, and you've got Ricky
Council.
I'm sorry. Those two go at it every day in practice, and two talented three men. Of course, Dexter's got the experience, you know, behind him, and he's been through a lot of the wars. I think Mo Desi's got the five spot probably nailed down. He's looking really good out of practice. One thing that I noticed with him is he's shooting a lot better from the outside. I mean, he's making more threes than he's missing in the practices I've been to. So he's shooting the ball well. And of course, the four spot's going to be a big battle. So I'm going to be looking to see if Joe Pleasant will step in there and take that spot since Trey Wade has transferred. But he's going to get pushed by Mozzie Jackson, and I think that's going to be a heck of a battle. And then I'll tell you, Isaac Abide is a really good-looking freshman, and Kenny Poto. So the other thing I'm looking at is the big guys. That's where we're a little bit thin and a little experienced, but I've been really impressed with Kenny Poto and Isaac Abide. They're pretty good players.
The Shockers were not a great shooting team last year, about 40% from the floor, which was eighth in the American. They got to the line a lot, which is a sign of a good offensive team, but they did not shoot great from the line, 68%, 33.6% from three, which ranks sixth in the American. How does the coach go about improving those kind of offensive statistics?
Shot selection. Also, a lot of that's done in the off season, where you work on your shooting in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and get more confidence in your shooting. I think people remember last year, Dexter entered his freshman year, or was it sophomore year, 2 years ago. He ended on a really hot streak and was shooting really well in the conference, you know, right around 40% from three. And then last year he struggled for months to get that to get to that level. So I think he worked a lot in the offseason, shooting off the bounce and trying to make people honor the fact that he can drive to the basket and shoot off the bounce, so they won't hug him so much when he catches the ball outside the three-point line. So I think I'm looking for Dexter Dennis to come out and shoot a lot better percentage at the start this year and be more consistent than he was last year. Tyson, I was down to practice yesterday, and he was just shooting the lights out. Poor Chauncey Jenkins was trying to guard him, and he was up on him, and Tyson would just back up and shoot it, and he'd back up more and shoot it, and back up. He was out there about 25 feet knocking these things down. And
I think we were there at the same portion of practice. Yeah, because I think Tyson made three or four in a row, and you're right, Chauncey was playing good defense, was on him, and it was just kind of a shake your head and walk away, because Tyson was just, you know, we know that. He's just that good of a player.
Yeah, exactly. Good defense, but better offense. So I think, obviously, I think I'm looking for him to shoot really well this year. And Craig Porter didn't take a lot of shots last year. I think you're going to hopefully see Craig Porter look for a little more offense this year and be more of a scoring threat than he was last year. I think last year he just kind of felt like when he came in the game that he was a playmaker and tried to set everybody else up. But that point guard's got to be a threat. You know, you got to make somebody guard you so that it opens up the inside and opens up the other guys. So, and then I'll tell you, Quay Grant can shoot it. He can shoot it outside, and he's really good at driving to the basket and finishing at the hoop. He's really strong and is really crafty, and think as far as Fred VanVleet and how Fred VanVleet finished around the basket and Joe Ragland, that's the way Craig Grant finishes around a basket. So I think he's going to be fun to watch.
So IB talked a lot last year about having Alterique and Tyson and the advantages of having several people on the floor with point guard skills. And it sounds like they're headed in that direction again this year then with Craig Porter and Tyson and Quay Grant, in your opinion. Would that be right?
Yeah, you've got to have three point guards because you never know when somebody's going to go down with an ankle or whatever, twisting a knee, and now with COVID, you can be out with that. So I think they've got three point guards. Craig Porter, very experienced at Vincennes, and then last year in the system. Quay Grant's been playing point guard and off guard down in West Texas. Very experienced player. And then Tyson, he knows the system as well as anybody. And I think he worked a lot on his ball handling. If he learned anything from his tryouts with the NBA, I think from what I read, it's that he needs to work on being able to be a playmaker and being able to run a club and run plays. And so if I know Tyson, he's worked on that a lot in the offseason because he's a really hard worker. So I think you're going to see him playing some point too. And I think you're going to see a situation where Coach Brown's going to tell him, hey, whoever gets the rebound, you don't have to throw it at the point guard. You bring it up and you initiate the offense. So I think you're going to see different people pushing the ball up and initiating the offense so they don't have to make that extra pass. And that'll take you back to the days when they did that with Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker and Tekale Cotton towards the end of his career. He would initiate the offense too. So that really helps the fast break.
Shockers were a very good ball handling team last year, one of the nation's best at avoiding turnovers, and that's been a characteristic of this program for many years. How does a coach go about setting that expectation that, you know, we're not gonna turn the ball over, we're gonna get shots, and we're gonna be careful with it?
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there with the question. Is that the coach sets that expectation and you demand it. One thing they've done here with Greg Marshall and now with Isaac Brown is you run after practice for every turnover you have. If you go 5-on-5, the managers keep track of turnovers, and you're running sprints after practice for all those turnovers. They also run for not blocking off on a defensive stop and letting your man get the offensive rebound. And maybe other things too, but those are the two main things. But turnovers is just expectation. The number one rule of offense I always told my team was don't pass the ball to the other team. So that's what you try not to do. Don't pass the ball to the other team because turnovers get you beat. And Wichita State, you're right, has been very, very good at taking care of the basketball and not turning it over. And I don't think this team will be any different.
That's a good rule, and it helps your defense too when you're not scrambling back after a bad pass. Well, those kind of things.
Absolutely,
very, very important. All right, we've talked a little bit about the returners. Let's go back and hit some of those guys. One person who I think is going to have a big role that you mentioned a little bit. Let's go a little bit more into Monzie Jackson, who was, boy, just a great energy guy, really hustling last year. I'm sure he is setting his expectation to do even more this year, probably improve his shooting some, his offensive contributions, and avoid foul trouble this year. What have you seen from Monzie so far?
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of, remember Darrell Willis? He would come into the games, and he would always make something happen. I mean, most of the time it was good. Sometimes it wasn't. It was bad. He might be fouling or turn the ball over or whatever. But when they come in the game, they always make something happen. And that's the way Monzie Jackson is. When he comes in the game, they call him an energy guy because he seems to come in revved up. And he gets a key rebound. He gets a turnover, makes a bucket, gets an offensive rebound and sticks it back in with some extra effort. He's one of those guys that the crowd loves. Because he's on the floor, he's fighting for rebounds, he's playing defense. And I think what they're hoping this year is get a little more consistent on his shooting, know when to shoot, when not to shoot. Also, cut down on some mistakes, you know what passes to make, what passes not to make. And I think he'll be more comfortable in the system this year. I wasn't always sure last year if he knew his assignment on every play. Shockers run a very complicated offense with a lot of sets, and they run about five or six different fast breaks that they change during the games, and they run a lot of different defenses that they change during the games. And I wasn't sure last year. That's a lot to absorb from a junior college player or a transfer player his first year. So the second year, those guys usually seem a lot more comfortable out there within the system. And I think you're going to see that with Monzi. So I think you're going to see what he did last year. But I think hopefully it'll be a little more consistent.
He's such a great energy guy coming off the bench. Does his commitment to kind of making a play at every moment, being everywhere all the time, does that change if he is a starter? As a starter, are there times where you have to throttle back a little bit to fit into the whole flow of what's going on?
I guess so. It would depend on the personality of the player. Some guys are starters and they lay back, and some guys are starters and want to come out and make an impact early. Sometimes guys coming off the bench, you know, try to just, people say, let the game come to you. Don't try to do too much too quickly. But that's never been Monzi's problem. And Monzi comes in and he just goes. So I think that's his personality. I don't think you're going to change that. I think what you want to do is just have him make good decisions and make sure that whatever they're in, defensively or offensively, he's in the system doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Isaac Brown has talked several times about Craig Porter, and he had injuries. He missed a lot of practice. I think 60 days is the figure that Isaac throws out with COVID and controlling and all the kind of COVID protocols. So I think he thinks Craig is a lot better, a lot healthier, a lot bouncier, and that's what I've observed too. How does Craig help this team if he is able to, you know, give them 20, 23 minutes a game and really contribute more like he maybe did at Vincennes?
I talked to him the other day after practice and asked him that. I said, how's your knee, you know, and how do you feel? And he said, I feel great. He said, I feel 100%. So, and last year, I'm not sure he ever felt 100%. And even when he was physically healthy, he was sitting out because maybe his roommate had COVID, tested positive for COVID. A lot of times it wasn't him. It was the guys he was rooming with. So, yeah, that was a problem last year for Craig, just not being on the court enough. But I think what he adds is a steady hand. He's got a great assist to turnover ratio. I think it was like 2.5 to 1, 2.5 assists to every turnover. And, you know, 2 to 1's good and 3 to 1's really good. So he, I think, gives you a steady point guard out there that doesn't try to do too much. He's an excellent passer, a really good passer. He's probably the best guy at feeding the post. He does a really good job of getting the ball inside. And I think what they're hoping for this season is that he'll show a little more scoring like he did in junior college and show off some of that athleticism. He showed it on defense. He's a good shot blocker. But you didn't see him going to the hoop and getting up above the rim and finishing a lot. And I think that's something that he can do and that he can add to his game this year.
He had 28 assists and 10 turnovers, so you were right, almost that hitting that 3-to-1 level. Only took 5 three-pointers, which I think became noticeable at times. That would be nice if he could, as you said, be a threat out there. Newcomers, who's jumped out at you?
Oh, boy, let's see. Well, Quay Grant, probably, because I want to look at the point guards and see, okay, who's going to step in there for Altre Gilbert at point. And so I've been watching Quay Grant, been watching Craig Porter, and then, of course, Tyson, too, a little bit, playing some point. But Quay just looks like a guy, an experienced guy. You know, he just looks like one of the point guards that we've had in the system, you know, a Joe Ragland, Fred VanVleet, Malcolm Armstead. He just looks like when he's got the ball, you know who's in charge. You know, he's in control. He's got a really tight handle. You don't know if he's right-handed or left-handed. He drives right-handed or left-handed equally as well. Finishes at the hoop. He's strong. When he goes for a loose ball, he usually gets it because he's very strong. And so I think I really like him. I think he's going to step in and really play a lot, but he's versatile. I think he can play point. I think he can play off. And so I think he's going to be that kind of guy that can play multiple positions for Isaac Brown.
He is a transfer from West Texas A&M, NCAA Division II school. He was All-American twice. Has he seemed to adjust pretty well to the speed of the game, to the step up to Division I?
Yeah, and I don't know if that game will be faster than Division II, but there'll be more height. There'll be a lot taller guys when he goes to the basket. When you're driving in that league, it's going to be that different when you drive to the basket against Memphis and Houston and Cincinnati. So I think that will be an adjustment to all the shot blockers we have in this league and how hard it is to finish at the hoop, you know. But if you can get to the basket and get to the foul line, that'll be just as effective. So I have no doubt he can adjust to the speed of it. It's just going to be adjusting to the physicality and the size that you have in this league.
Kenny Poto is a freshman center, about 6'10", 6'11", and he may be in line for some significant playing time behind Morris Udeze. When I was out there, practiced a couple times this week, he seems to be skilled offensive player and a good shooter. What are your observations of Kenny?
That's what jumps out when you go to practice. I've been watching him, watching Isaac, and as they're shooting. Kenny looks like he's a polished pick and pop guy already. I mean, when he sets a screen and then pops away, and there's a switch or a double team, the players throw back to him, and he's knocking that three down. I mean, and consistently. So I think he's got that in his game already. One thing I've heard Isaac Brown say, coach said that he's really amazed at how good he is defensively already. He thinks he's as physical as some of the juniors and seniors we've had the last few years, and he's coming in as a freshman. So they've been impressed with his physicality and the way he can body up with Udeze and the other guys. So I think Kenny's going to play a lot, and he's going to have to play a lot because McFarland left and went back to Philadelphia, so they're going to need Kenny and Isaac ability to play.
Kenny played at Sunrise Christian Academy, so he would have had the benefit of playing against some pretty good competition over the last season. The last newcomer let's talk about would be Joe Pleasant, a junior transfer from Abilene Christian. He's a Kansas kid from Overland Park, and I would think he is ticketed for also some significant playing time with the experience he brings. Tell us about Joe Pleasant.
Yeah, I think Joe could you could just take him and put him at that four spot, and he'll do a great job at it. Now, I don't know if he's going to beat out Monzi or Monzi's going to beat him out, and I don't know if it matters, you know, who starts, because they're both going to play a lot. But Joe is just a polished, seasoned veteran. He just always looks like he's under control out there. You never see him make a crazy pass or make a real bad defensive mistake. He just seems to know what he's supposed to do and how fast he's supposed to do it. He's strong. He can score inside. He's got a nice jumper. I don't know if he shoots a lot of threes, but I think he's got a pretty good jumper, 18 to 20 feet. He may shoot threes. I just haven't seen him shoot that many threes. I think he's just a guy, a real steady player that's going to step into that four spot and really, you know, with Trey Wade transferring, we need a guy there, a veteran there, and he's a veteran. He might be new to Wichita State fans, but he's a veteran player at that position at this level.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you.